أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد صلى الله على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the love of our beloved Prophet and his beloved progeny, please recite a second salawat. For the hastening in the return of our beloved 12th Imam, please recite a third and final loud salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Inshallah, tonight we're going to continue with the discussion that we were discussing last night, and that was the idea of the different types of signs that we seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yesterday we mentioned four categories of different signs or different purposes why we look for signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We had the chance and the time to go through three of them yesterday, and inshallah today we will finish the discussion, that part of the discussion, by going through some examples of the fourth category. The fourth category were the category of signs that we seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not because we're trying to learn something new, but because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to shake up our world. He wants us to wake up. He wants us to change this path that we're on. Because of that, he sends us signs of this fourth category. Once we're done with that, inshallah, we will try to provide an answer to this following question. The question is this: wouldn't it increase my iman if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to show me more signs from His? Since my iman, it's a little weak. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to just show me more signs, my iman would increase. Why wouldn't He do that? Recite a salawat, please. Let's go through a couple of examples that we have from the life of the Ahlul Bayt regarding this fourth category of signs that we talked about yesterday. Again, this is the category where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is simply trying to shake up our world. He's simply trying to make us turn away from the wrong path that we're on. One of these incidents, and this illustrates one of these signs, happened during the time of the seventh Imam, Imam Musa al-Kadhim. During the time of the seventh Imam, there was an individual in the city of Baghdad, and the people of Baghdad were being harmed by this individual. They came to the seventh Imam, they said, Ya Musa ibn Kadhim, Ya ibn Rasulullah, you need to do something about this person. His name was Bishr. So you need to do something about Bishr. The Imam asked him, he said, what is this Bish doing anyways? He said, this Bish, he puts together parties. He's very wealthy. He has a lot of connections. He puts together parties. When he puts these parties together, our youth, our people, they engage in these parties. And they end up doing all of these types of haram. You have to do something about this. So the seventh Imam said, don't worry, I will discuss this with him. The Imam starts walking another day through the alleys of the city of Medina and the city of Baghdad. And as he's passing by the house of Bish. And in fact, at that time, Bish has one of his parties going on. People are engaging in all sorts of haram. And the Imam is walking past the house of Bish. As the Imam is walking past the house of Bish, one of the female servants of Bish comes out to put out the trash from this party. As she comes out, she sees this old man is walking. Of course, they didn't see our imams as imams. They saw him as good people, as ulama, as scholars, knowledgeable individuals. They come from the lineage of the Prophet, so they respected our imams. They said, Musa ibn Kadhim is passing by. This female saw Musa ibn Kadhim. Musa ibn Kadhim asked her a question. Imam Musa turned to this female and said, tell me, this person that you work for, Hurrun am abdun, is he free or is he a servant? As we know, back in the day, during the time of the Prophet, people were of two main classes. You had the free people and you had those who worked for others. Hurrun am abdun, is he free or is he an abd? And this Jariya, this female servant of Bish, as if she had a smirk on her face, like, are you kidding me? What kind of question is that? Of course this person is Hur. Of course, don't you see all the wealth, all the connections, this party that he's put together? Of course he is Hur. But this servant was not understanding exactly what the Imam was trying to refer to. So Imam comments on her response. He says, of course he is not an abd. Of course he is hur. If he was a true abd, lakhafa min mawlah. If he was a true abd of Allah, he would have been afraid of his master. He wouldn't have been doing the things that he's doing now. This Jariya doesn't understand what the Imam is talking about. So she goes back into this party. This female servant doesn't understand what the Imam is referring to. She goes back into this party and Bish is engaged in this party. As this party is going on, at one point Bish turns towards this Jariya and he says, wait a second, what took you so long? You were outside for too long. She says, yes, this old man was passing by. He asked me some questions about you. He says, what question did he ask? She says, she asked a very simple question. I don't even know why he asked this question. He said, Hurrun am abdun? Is he a free man or is he a servant? And I told him, Bish, I told him, you're hur. Of course you're hur. I told him, look at your wealth. Bish says, okay, so tell me, what did he respond? He said, the female servant says, he responded to what I said. He said, of course he is hur. Because if he was an abd, lakhafa min mawlah. And this hit Bish so hard that it changed his life. He started running after the Imam outside of his house through this party of haram. He started running after Imam al-Kadhim without putting on any shoes, without putting on any na'alain, which is why they call him Bishr al-Hafi, the barefooted Bish. He ran after Imam al-Kadhim, and right there he professed that he is going to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's going to change around his life. And they say that Bish reached the point where he was amongst those who would narrate some of the ahadith of the seventh Imam. Recite a salawat, please. This is an example that we have. Hopefully this is something that sinks in us. We take these signs, these stories, and we can change our lives, brothers and sisters. Let me give you one more example, and then we can move on. During the time of, this story is about the time of Imam al-Hadi. During the time of Imam al-Hadi and Bani Abbas in general, one of the things that Bani al-Abbas used to do all the time to disrespect the Ahlul Bayt was that time and other times, random times throughout the day, they would send their troops, and they would tell their troops, you go and bring the Imam to me right now. At random times, sometimes late at night. Sometimes the Imam, he was busy with some personal affairs that he was taking care of. But the Khalifa would tell his troops, you go and bring the Imam to me regardless of what situation he's in. If he's taking care of his personal affairs, that's fine, you have to bring him to me. They would ask, they say, what if he has to change his clothes? Doesn't matter. You bring him to me with the clothes that he's wearing inside of his house, which is a means of disrespect to the Ahlul Bayt. You find today, even the worst of criminals, when they bring them into a court of law, they give them the chance to do what? To dress up. Sometimes you see these criminals, if you see them the way they normally dress up, you might think to yourself, you're like, this guy definitely did this crime. But then when you see him dressed up in the court of law, you think, oh no, he didn't do this. He looks too nice right now. He can't have committed a crime like that. But when it came to our Ahlul Bayt, the Khulafa did not even give them the chance to even change up. These were old individuals sometimes. So you bring them here the same way, with the same clothing that he's wearing inside of his house. This happened to Imam al-Hadi, between Imam al-Hadi and Mutawakkil. Mutawakkil heard from some of his spies that, you know, this Ali ibn Muhammad, don't look at him, he comes and he goes and he's quiet and everything. He has this web of representatives. He has this shabaka of wikala, where he has representatives in different cities. The people in these different cities are sending him money, they are sending him weapons, and he is going to revolt against you. He's going to start a movement against you. Sooner or later, don't look at him, he's calm, he comes and goes. No. There's a lot going on, and this is going on in his house. So Mutawakkil, one night he gets drunk, he's intoxicated. He says, I've been told that Ali ibn Muhammad is gathering all this wealth and all this army and weapons against me. He starts sending some of his troops to go to the house of the Imam. He tells them, you go there, you bring him to me in any situation that he is. It doesn't matter for me what situation he's in. Anything you find in the house, you have to confiscate that. This is a story, brothers and sisters, to show you that even the worst servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give up on them. Sometimes he throws signs even into their lives. So they bring the Imam into the courtyard of Mutawakkil. Mutawakkil is obviously intoxicated. He doesn't understand exactly what he's saying. He sees Musa ibn, the Imam al-Hadi Ali ibn Muhammad come in, and he gathers himself a little bit, and he's drinking. He turns to the Imam, again as a means of disrespect to the Imam. He says, have a cup of wine with me. The Imam says, Wallah la yukhamiru lahmi wa dami qattu. I've never drank any of this stuff and I never will. Fa'afini, excuse me from this task. You see, the Imam knows that Mutawakkil is drunk, he's intoxicated. So he's just going with him step by step. He says, Fa'afini, you know, leave me alone. Give me some other task to do. He insists. The Imam says, no, I can't do that. I can't drink wine with you. So he says, okay, that's fine. If you're not going to drink wine with me, then at least recite a poem for me. What kind of a poem? Recite a poem that I can indulge in, I can take pleasure in. My party is going on. Recite a poem for me that I like. The Imam says, no, leave me alone. Fa'afini. Mutawakkil insists this time. He says, no, you said no to the wine. I said, okay. But the poem, I want you to entertain me. So then the Imam says, fine, Mutawakkil. If you want a poem, I will give you a poem. But this poem is not going to be one of those poems that you usually hear that talk about you, they praise you, they tell you what a great person you are, how much sakhava and generosity you have, and how you are the best person on earth. It's not going to be that type of poem. So the Imam starts explaining, this is a poem of the Imam, where he starts explaining the fate of people like Mutawakkil. He starts out like this. He says, "Batu ala qulal al-ajbal tahrusuhum ghulb ar-rijal falam tanfa'hum al-qulal." He says, "Let me tell you about a group of people. They used to live in this earth. They used to live at the peak of the mountains, the safest places on earth. And they had guards guarding them day and night. But none of this was enough to save them from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had in mind for them." And then the Imam continues. And every single line the Imam goes forward, you can see the face of Mutawakkil is changing. Because this is not what he had signed up for. He had signed up for something totally different. And then he says, wait, let me tell you the rest of the story. وَاسْتَنْزَلُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ عِزٍ مِنْ مَعَاقِلِهِمْ. A point came where these people were pulled down from that high status that they had. They were pulled down. وَأُسْكِنُوا حُفَرًا يَبِئْسَ مَا نَزَلُوا. And then holes were dug up for them and they were placed inside of these holes. The Imam does not refer to these holes as graves. He says, no, this is a hole. These people have no respect in the eyes of people anymore. And then the Imam continues. He uses a metaphor. He says, it's as if when they place these people inside of the graves, they're dying now. It's as if someone starts calling them out and asking them questions. نَادَاهُمْ صَارِخٌ مِّن بَعْدِ دَفْنِهِمْ. They ask him this question. أَيْنَ الْأَسَاوِرُ وَالْتِيجَانُ وَالْحُلَلُ. Wait a second. Where's all the wealth that you had? Where are all the crowns that you used to wear? All the jewelry that you used to have? Where did all of that go? Now you're all stuck in a hole that's been dug up for you. أَيْنَ الْوُجُوهُ الَّتِي كَانَتْ مُنَعَمَةً. Where are those faces that were blessed? They were pampered. They enjoyed every pleasure in this world. مِنْ دُونَهَا تُضْرَبُ الْأَسْتَارُ وَالْكِلَلُ. These faces were protected behind curtains, upon curtains. If you wanted to meet this guy, you had to go through 10 different guards to see him. Where are those faces now? And then the Imam continues with his metaphor. He says, these people, they're dead now. They can't respond to this question. So who responds on their behalf? The grave itself starts speaking on their behalf. فأفصح القبر عنهم حين سألهم تلك الوجوه عليها الدود تقتتل. Those same faces that were pampered, they were blessed. Today the worms of the grave are fighting over eating the flesh of those faces. Mutawakkil is losing it at this point. And then the Imam ends with this last line. He says, قَدْ طَالَمَا أَكَلُوا دَهْرًا وَقَدْ شَرِبُوا. Forever and ever, these people, they fed on this world. Everyone was their prey. They preyed on everyone else. وَأَصْبَحُوا الْيَوْمَ بَعْدَ الْأَكْلِ قَدْ أُكِلُوا. But today, they have become the food, the prey of the worms inside of the grave. Just recite a salawat, please. They say that Mutawakkil, of course, he had not signed up for a poem like that. He was expecting a totally different type of poem. But they say that Mutawakkil, on that day, he started crying. Mutawakkil, he started crying. The other people, his khadama, his servants who were around him, the people who were in charge of him, they started crying as well. Mutawakkil gave a gift of 1,000 dinars, thousands of dinars to the Imam because of this poem. See, brothers and sisters, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the worst of people who live, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throws a sign into their life just to shake them up a little bit. Mutawakkil was moved. He was shaken up. Except the next day, he went back to being the same monster that he was. Now, having gone through these examples, let's move on to the next question that we were going to discuss. Wouldn't it increase my iman if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to just send me some more signs? Sometimes people who ask that question, they will follow it up with this question. They say, brother, I've heard in the Quran, in the hadith, even amongst our ulama, that they were great people because they saw great signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would show them signs, their iman, their faith would develop, it would become greater. Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do the same thing for me? If I'm walking down the street, someone starts speaking to me from the skies, I swear my iman will become stronger. There are two points that we need to consider in order to answer this question. The first point that we need to understand, brothers and sisters, is that most people think that first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you a great sign, then you develop faith. Where the truth of the matter is the exact opposite of that. Meaning what? Meaning that sometimes when you develop faith, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you more and more and greater signs of His. Let's go through one of the stories that's been referred to in the Quran, and that is the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. In the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, when you look at the verses that discuss that critical moment in the life of Yusuf, which moment is the most critical in the life of Yusuf? You can argue which one it is, but arguably, it is that moment where he turns away Zulaykha. That critical test. Why is that such a critical moment in the life of Yusuf? Because that's the moment that's going to get him in jail. It is also the same moment that is going to get him later out of jail. It's the moment that's going to get Yusuf into jail because he is rejecting the request of who? Of Zulaykha. It's also the moment that's getting Yusuf out of jail because by rejecting the request of Zulaykha, he's going to be given this ability to interpret dreams, which is going to save him later on. This moment is going to shape the rest of the life of Yusuf. When you go to these verses of the Quran, brothers and sisters, you go through the first verse, verse 23 from Surah Al-Yusuf, you think to yourself, oh, it was very simple. وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَن نَفْسِهِ وَغَلَّغَتِ الْأَبْوَابَ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ. She came in, she closed the doors, she made sure they were closed, because غَلَّغَ has emphasis in it. She made sure the doors were closed. وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ. And she said, make yourself available to me. It's very interesting how the Quran goes through the details of this story, but is not profane in any way. It's not profane. Refers to details, but not with words that will draw your attention to things that you shouldn't be paying attention to. So you think of this. What was Yusuf's response? قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ. It seems very simple. So it only took Yusuf a split second. One second, Zulaykha came to him and said, make yourself available to me. The next second, Yusuf said, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ. He has done so much for me. Why would I turn against him? Okay. But then you look at the next verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't think it was that simple. No. Let us let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala walk us through the thought process of Yusuf alayhi salam in that split second that he is making this critical choice that is going to shape the rest of his life. Recite a salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. When you look at this critical moment, you find in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens it up a little bit more. He says, don't think it was a split second. No. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ. Zulaykha really wanted this to happen. وَهَمَّ بِهَا. And Yusuf would have wanted it also to happen. Except for one thing. There was one thing that shaped the whole life of Yusuf, brothers and sisters. لَوْلَا أَنْ رَأَى بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. If it wasn't for seeing the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the evidence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Yusuf also would have wanted to make this happen. It was not an easy thing for Yusuf to turn this away. There was something that came to his help. So you and I, we go through this verse and we think to ourselves, we say, oh, all this time, since we were children, we gave Yusuf too much credit because Yusuf, God showed him a sign. So you think to yourself sometimes, you're like, oh, we gave Yusuf too much credit here. Apparently, in that critical moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made things easy for him. He showed him a special sign. It's very interesting. The first day we were taking this class, I remember, we were taking this class of balagha, right? One of the classes they take in the Hawza. It's about the eloquence of the Quran and Hadith. And our teacher actually brought us this particular verse. He said, the reason why we have to study balagha is this verse. We said, why? He said, because many people come to this verse of the Quran, they don't understand the eloquence of the wording of the Quran. So how is that? He says, because many people come across this verse, they say, yeah, well, of course, God showed him a special sign. If I was there, if God had shown me a special sign, I would have done the same thing. Then our teacher pointed out a very nice point. He said, the mistake that people make is that the verse does not say, لَوْلَا أَنْ رُؤِيَ يُوسُفُ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. It does not say Yusuf was shown the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says Yusuf saw the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that Yusuf had developed the faith enough to see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had done the work. Because he had developed that faith in that critical moment, he could see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not that Prophet Yusuf is just living his life. He goes through a test and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy on him. No, it's the exact opposite of that. You develop faith with the basic signs that you already have. And then once you develop that faith and it becomes stronger, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts adding to those signs. Recite a salawat, please. The second point that we need to pay attention to, brothers and sisters, why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just show me the greatest of His signs? How is it that when it came to our Prophet, He took him to the skies, لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا الْكُبْرَى, and He showed him some of the greatest signs of His? Why doesn't He do the same thing for me? The second point, brothers and sisters, is this, that as much as there is a chance that you see a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you still accept His message, there is just as much a chance that you see His greatest signs and you reject His message. Because a sign is a sign. You're the one who has to decide if you want to believe in it or you don't want to believe in it. You want to listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or you want to reject His message. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has created a situation where He wants to give us the most chances at being good people. So what does He do from the very beginning? Does He come and show you the greatest of His signs? No. He shows you a small one. Shows you a two or a three. If you reject, then he might push a little bit further. Maybe a 4, you might listen. But what happens if he shows you the 10 from the very beginning? The greatest of his signs? If he shows you the greatest of his signs from the very beginning, and you happen to reject it, that's it. His punishment is going to come right away. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us as many chances as possible. This is why we find in one of the stories in the Quran, when the companions of one of the prophets came to him, they said, tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send us this special sign. You find the prophet is not so excited to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this sign. He doesn't say, oh great, you guys want a sign, let me go and ask him. That's not the approach that the prophet takes. In fact, he's a little skeptical. He's like, why do you guys need a sign? What are you asking for a sign for? Why is that? Because this prophet knows that if these people turn away from these greatest signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the punishment will come very quickly. This, brothers and sisters, is mentioned in the story of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. In the story of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, a point comes that Isa alayhi salam has already spread his message. He has a good number of companions. We refer to these companions as the Hawariyun. The Quran says, one day the Hawariyun came to Isa alayhi salam. They said, Ya Isa, we need a favor from you. So what is this favor you need from you? He said, we need you to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tell him to send us heavenly food. Now, just pause there for a second. Heavenly food is not a small sign, brothers and sisters. If heavenly food comes down to you tonight, you will never forget that for the rest of your life. They say, Isa, you have to go tell your Lord to send down on us heavenly food. Huh? A ma'idah of heavenly food. The first response of Isa alayhi salam is not, oh, mashallah, that's so great. Yes, let me go and ask him. No, he's not excited at all that they're asking for this sign. What is his response? قَالَ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. So be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you mean? You want to see more signs? If he wanted you to see more signs, he would have shown it to you. They insist. They say, نُرِيدُ أَن نَأْكُلَ مِنْهَا. We want to eat from this food. وَنَعْلَمَ أَن قَدْ صَدَقْتَنَا. And we want to be sure that you're telling us the truth. And we want our iman to increase in all of these nice things. Go and tell your Lord to send down this tablecloth full of heavenly food. Isa alayhi salam takes this request to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he takes it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a slightly different way. He goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't say, Ya Allah, send us some food so we know you're telling us the truth. No, he has adab, he has manners. He's not going to go and speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that way. He has manners. What does he say? He says, Ya Allah, send some food from us, send some food for us so that it can be an Eid for us. We can celebrate this day. تَكُونُ لَنَا عِيدًا لِأَوَّلِنَا وَآخِرِنَا. وَآيَةً مِنْكَ. But that's not a big deal for me. Yes, we want a sign, but that's not the main thing here. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respond to this request of Isa alayhi salam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالَ اللَّهُ إِنِّي مُنَزِّلُهَا عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you asked for this specific sign, fine. I am going to send it down to you. And he did. But he says, there's one thing you need to pay attention to. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. Whoever disbelieves in me from now on, from amongst you guys, فَإِنِّي أُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا لَا أُعَذِّبُهُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. I'm going to punish him in a way that I don't punish anyone else. Why? Because you guys are seeing the biggest of signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're seeing the biggest sign. With it comes the biggest responsibility. If you turn away the biggest sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's it. The punishment will come soon. If I turn away a small sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives me time. He says, okay, I showed you a sign at the second level. He rejected it. Let me show him a sign at the third level, for example. Maybe this time he will listen. But if you ask for 10 and he shows you 10 and you reject the message, at that point, There's no hope. Because if you have not been convinced with a sign that is a 10, you will never be convinced with a sign that is a 2 or a 3. There's no hope for you anymore. There's no purpose in you being alive. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His punishment to wrap up our life. But He doesn't want that. He wants to give us as many chances as He wants. So He shows us small signs. Maybe this time He will listen. Maybe this time He will listen. And then hopefully we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that one of these small signs, before we have to see the greatest of these, one of these small signs, inshallah, will help us to change our lives, inshallah. With that, inshallah, I will bring tonight's talk to an end. Before we end, let us send our salams to the plain of Karbala. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Wa ala al-arwah allati halat bifina'ik. Alayka minni jami'an salamullahi abada. ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته.